This working? Oh, that's working. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. I appreciate that. God bless you, girl. We wanted to make sure that we mentioned that for those of you that aren't aware, Johnny Linder passed away. Dave Linder's brother, our thoughts and prayers are with you, Dave. And of course, we know Johnny's in a much better place. Amen. Amen. Amen to that. Last week, I asked you a question that was, what is life? What is life? And I got a myriad of answers and all kinds of different scenarios. And one thing that was kind of notable through it all was that life is a roller coaster. There's a lot of ups and downs. There's a lot of twists and turns. There's a lot of surprises. Sometimes those surprises are really good. Sometimes those surprises are pretty terrifying. Not so good. All the chapters in this book of Romans leading up to chapter 6, they're kind of like a roller coaster. It's exhaustive kind of in its delivery. It's exhaustive in all of its descriptives. The sinfulness of mankind, the evil that still exists. God is faithful even when we're not. The fallen world, death through Adam, and life through Christ. We all fall short of trying to be good enough to earn our place within God's presence. The law and the ceremonial rituals of the Jewish people were not enough to give an eternal purification. We had to do this every year, round and round, up and down, year after year, ceremonies of atonement. We needed mankind, humanity, needed a permanent solution, a once and for all atonement. Enter the ultimate plan of God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit of God. We need a faith, we need a hope. We need a peace with God. We need a justification, a sanctification, a transformation. Because it's kind of tiring falling short and seeking forgiveness again. Falling out of God's favor time after time after time and working and sacrificing to try and restore it. We cannot gain God's eternal favor by our own works. We gain it through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. And that indeed is some really good news. And I'm grateful for that. I mean, really. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I was so worried I wasn't going to make it. But I thank you. So we're okay then, right? We're all good. So I can just keep on living like I'm living, lying like I'm lying, cheating like I'm cheating, stealing like I'm stealing. You got my back, right, God? I mean, I can have more children out of wedlock. I can be promiscuous. I can be unrestrained. I can just continue in my bad habits and my bitterness and my anger and my racist attitudes because you got my back. Debauchery and rudeness. It's all fine by you. I mean, I get so much grace from all the sins I've committed. Why not just keep keeping on sinning so I get more grace? Certainly not. If you think that way, that's not salvation. That's not transformation. You got a little piece of information. And you expect God's grace to be upon you because you take God's grace for granted. I worked a third shift job for a decade, 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. And more than once, I'd wake up and go, I'm late for work. And then realize it's my day off. I mean, literally, get up, get changed, and go, oh no, I'm not. Anybody else? Anybody else ever kind of been there? Right? They're like, not to be that. See, that's kind of a awful feeling when you first, oh no, I'm late. And then you start going, and then what an awesome feeling, right? That hits you. Oh, hey, I don't have to be that. Oh, relax. Stress is gone. I don't have to work today. See that feeling? Right there. That moment. Oh, that moment. That's the same release God gives you over the penalty of your sin. So you wake up and you, I don't think I'm good enough for heaven. I've got too many sins. I've got too many lies. I don't deserve to even come close. I have too many divorces and too many fights. I have been so depressed. I'm such a loser. I'm such a loser. I'm so sad. I know I'm going to burn in hell. Wait a minute. Jesus got me. Jesus got me. Jesus got me. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And if you haven't had that moment, if you haven't had that moment with Jesus, all I can tell you is you better get busy trying to earn your way. Get back to those rituals. See, I had this realization, and much of the same as you, I'm sure. Here's your first one, that my position's paid for. My position paid for. You wake up and relax. You don't have to work for your salvation today. I don't have to work for his love. I don't have to work at all his acceptance. So now you got the whole day. You got the whole day ahead of you. It's a blank slate. You are free from the slaving ritual tasks, the tiresome job of trying to earn his love, all the long hours trying to earn his love, all the days and weeks and hours trying to appease what you think is an angry God towards you. You are now free. You don't have to live that way any longer. You might want to give God some thanks for that. You might want to show him some gratitude for that. You might want to tell somebody else about the freedoms that you have and enjoy in Christ. And you might not want to sin anymore. That's a transformed heart. And this is where Romans 6 comes in. It's what are you going to do now with all this freedom? What are you going to do now? What shall we say then? Shall we continue sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. Should I go back? Should I go back? Go to work on my day off? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. We can live in it no longer. See, you were fired from your sinful ways. Why go back to the place you were fired from? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Anyone here baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? You died. You died. You were buried, and you rose again. And we are therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we also may have a new life. I don't want to go back to that. I don't want to go back to who I was. I want a new life. Welcome to your new life. This is the overwhelming power of God. This is the overwhelming sense of his grace. This is the overwhelming sense of his mercy and his love for you. The Holy Spirit of God flooding over you and filling you. People can mistake easily enough that God loves to forgive, so let's give him more to forgive. It's easy to take grace for granted. Have you taken God's grace for granted? See, while many like to confess their sins, they never repent of them. They don't want God's forgiveness of sin. They want God's acceptance of their sin. And so there's another question. There's your next slide. Do you want God's acceptance of sin? Or do you want God's forgiveness of sin? Heaven looks very different if there's an acceptance of sin. You can forget about all that. No more death, no more pain, no more tears. This chapter gives power to the believer. And if you can grab hold of what is conveyed here, you'll never walk in fear of the enemy again. This understanding will strip Satan of the right to torment, the right to accuse, and the right to dominate you ever again. See, it's a trick of Satan to get you to think that God accepts your sin. That you're okay the way you are. If you understand what the Lord has done for you, you will never want to sin again. You will never again be under the thumb of the sin. You'll never be under again the guilt and the shame and the fear of it. You will walk in a freedom that terrifies the enemy. Listen, folks, the devil is nothing you should be afraid of. In fact, he should be afraid of you. If you walk in the fear of the enemy, you do not understand the power that you possess. You do not understand completely the Holy Spirit of God that God has entrusted to you. We are free not to become more like the world. We are free not to become more like the flesh. We are free not to sin more and more. We are free to become more like Jesus. We have the freedom to choose just like God created you. You can become a slave again. You can go back to the rituals. You can bear the heavy yoke, or you can become like Jesus. Jesus did something new. God created something new. We must understand how groundbreaking this is, how earth-shattering this is, how religion-ending this is. This is revolutionary to become like God himself, a disciple of Christ, empowered to be Christ-like. That's radical. Too many believers are living under a false narrative. Too many believers see themselves as weak and struggling and victims. I'm just a poor sinner limping along, hoping I get into heaven. This Bible passage does not say that you are a forgiven sinner. This Bible passage says that you are a dead sinner. That you're dead. You're dead to sin and alive in Christ. It's not just what you're not, it's what you are. The power of your position, there's a next slide for you, by the way. This power is gained through your position. See, that's a theological term. What is your position within Christ? Positionally speaking, theologically speaking, what is your spiritual identification? I'm in Christ. I am in Christ. I'm in. Are you in? Somebody say I'm in. Listen, you got to listen. I'm giving you keys to spiritual success in your life. Listen, this is not a future hope. This is not future hope. This is present reality. Right here, right now. This is the present reality. Are you a victim to sin or are you alive in Christ? Alive, walking in Christ, not serving the flesh. Alive, walking in Christ, not acting on your emotional impulses. Alive in Christ, not trying to earn your way into God's blessings. It's already been given. It's been given that you might become like Jesus. Free to be like Jesus. This is a radical theology back then. It's a radical theology now if you understand the power that you possess. This is God positioning you that you can have the freedom to be like his son. You are the royal priesthood. Here's your next slide. Been reborn to be free. I'm dead to my sin, dead to my old way of life, dead to my old way of understanding and my old way of thinking, dead to being a slave to this world and a slave to my flesh, trying to earn God's good graces. When people come at you trying to trick you into your faith, you can just say, sorry, I'm dead to that. People try to engage you in the speech and hatred talk. You say, I'm sorry, I'm dead to that. I can't do that. I'm dead. I can't speak like that. I'm dead. I can't go there. I'm dead. I can't judge you. I'm dead. I can't slap you. I'm dead. I don't hate you. I'm dead. It's not me that lives anymore. It's Christ in me. Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive in God and in Christ Jesus. Is that you? Counting yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Is that you? Do not offer any part of yourselves to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourselves as an instrument of righteousness. Is that you? Are you an instrument of righteousness or are you an instrument of wickedness? Filled with the grace of God, no longer lives to sin. See, those are patterns of a principle. That's your next slide. It's patterns of a principle. What is it you're free to do? You're free to live as Christ. Free to engage the world with his love. Free to show patience and compassion and mercy and love and grace. These are the patterns of the principles. It's a statement of reasoning as Christians that we stand on and that we act upon our beliefs. We are the reflection of God to the world. These are the patterns and the routines of life now, based on your beliefs now. My conduct is determined by my goals and my aspirations to become Christ-like. My conduct is determined by my goals and my aspirations. So you'll either go to church or you won't. You'll either study the Bible or you won't. Your conduct will be determined by your goals and your aspirations. You'll either want to be Christ-like and pray, or you won't. You'll want to share your faith, or you won't. You'll want to give generously, or you won't. You'll want to pray for JB throughout the week, or you won't. You'll want to read the soap passage for the upcoming Sunday sermon, or you won't. Your conduct will be determined by your goals and your ambitions. What's your goal and ambition? The scriptures are saying, hey, be alive in Christ. Be like Christ. Do not offer any part of yourselves to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but offer every part of yourselves as an instrument of righteousness. This word instruments kind of took me a little bit. I tried to dive into it a little bit. And it really could be translated into a weapon. It's an instrument of warfare. Do not offer your body as a weapon of wickedness, but as a weapon of righteousness. The enemy wants to trick you and trap you, tangle you up. He wants you to believe that you are weak and that you are unable. He wants you confused. He wants you pursuing the wrong goals. He wants you to live under the condemnation that you've been freed from. He wants you to live as a victim of circumstance, not as the power of appointment. You've been appointed by God. Or are you just under evil circumstances? The devil has a way of tricking you, twisting you up, getting you to think differently, thinking that you're a victim. Sin's still got a hold of you. You're dead. You're dead to sin. And the Lord has given himself. He's given you all the power and all the ability. We have prayer warriors. We have wonderful musicians. We have wonderful, generous givers. We have people that are encouraging. We have people that are very hospitable. God has given us all kinds of talents, all kinds of abilities. Do you think your talents and your abilities are given for you for your worldly benefit? Or are they spiritual weapons? Or are they spiritual weapons? Gifts and talents. Weapons used to advance the gospel or promote evil. Your tongue? An instrument of righteousness or an instrument of wickedness? You can build up or you can tear down. You are a spiritual weapon. You are a spiritual weapon. Engaged in wickedness or engaged in righteousness? Listen, I own guitars, right, that have never played a secular song. Totally dedicated to the Lord. I've never learned a secular song on that bass. I've never learned a top 40 pop song on the cajon. I've only played choruses and God-honoring things on that grand piano. Dedicated to God. You're pretty grand yourself. Dedicated to God. Dedicated to God. You have been given talents and gifts not to achieve wealth or popularity, though that may come. You have been given talents and gifts to reach the lost and edify the saint. That's spiritual warfare. Day in and day out. Day in and day out, that's warfare. That's you, an instrument, a spiritual weapon. The scripture does not tell us that the sinful nature is dead. It says that you are dead to the sinful nature. God is not asking you to feel like you're dead to sin. As a matter of fact, he's asking you to stand on faith and believe it as a truth. That it's done, that it's accomplished, that the penalty of sin is done away with through Jesus Christ. All you need to have is faith and belief. And you may still feel the pull of temptation. You may hear the accusing voice of the enemy. That is not proof that you are not in Christ. That is simply the cry of the defeated, dead self trying to resurrect himself back up into your life. The old dead self still haunting you? Sometimes that voice can be really loud. The old dead self trying to resurrect himself in you? Old habits plaguing your mind? Old lusts lurking at you, luring you back into the strip clubs, back into the bars, back into the gambling table? You're dead to sin. But the sinful flesh still lingers on, doesn't it? The sin penalty is settled. It's over. Walk in that power. Christ has done it. There's a larger issue that kind of plagues the church, and that is that we are sin conscious when God has called us to be righteousness conscious. The church remains weak when they're more aware of their failures and their sinful nature than they are with their union with Christ. They talk more about their struggles and not their standing. They speak more about their inability rather than their ability. They talk more about their past sins than they do the future glory of God. They speak of things that are not instead of the things that are. They gossip of people's sinful behavior and never see the sin of gossip in their own lives. They speak of failures and not the strength they have to overcome them. The church has a reputation of killing its wounded, sacrificing those that need the love the most, staying focused on sin and failure rather than on victory. Come on. It's come to church and get your life straight. Come on. Come to church and get your life straight. Learn about this Christ. Learn about the power that you have to overcome. Well, guess who's coming? People that ain't got their life straight. Why do you think I'm here? I'm still working it out. I'm still working out the salvation God has called me to. What are you doing here? Once you begin to understand the moment you can be shift your thoughts from all the sin to the righteousness of God, everything changes. Everything changes. You no longer pray as a beggar. You pray as a child of God. You speak as a son or a daughter of the Most High God. You'll pray with authority. You will walk with others that are not quite there yet. You will represent the King, and you will learn to love the unlovable. You will no longer walk with your head down in shame, but your eyes will be lifted up to Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit of God that flows through you. Once you see yourself as God sees you, full of power, a spiritual weapon, every day you remember what the cross has accomplished for you. Your goals and your ambitions change from that which is temporary to that which is eternal. Everything changes. You begin to see things that are temporary, that are almost really meaningless in the long run when their souls are at stake. You see things in an eternal way. Here's your next slide. So you serve the wrong beliefs, well, you become slave to the wrong deeds. So I got a question for you. What desires are there that you have that are of the flesh? See, now, some of those are good, right? I got a desire, like, to eat, hungry, to drink, right? Sustaining the flesh, right? Nurture yourself, you know, love your neighbor as you love yourself. This is you love, you know, brush your teeth. I mean, there's things of the flesh. But what are these heart flesh things? That the old dead self keeps calling back. And it's different for everybody, but the same, because we're all people. It's the lust, the envy, the greed. What are those things of the flesh that just keep trying to resurrect in you? You have to, like, have self-control and exercise demons in your own life. I don't go there anymore. I'm dead. I don't do that anymore. I'm dead. I don't speak like that anymore. I'm dead. See, this, that flesh. And then I want to ask you, what desires of the Holy Spirit are within you that you want to shine up, that you want to elevate, that you want to show forth, that you hope will come through? Do you recognize any of the Holy Spirit within you, moving you in such a way, empowering you in such a way? Is there hunger for His Word? Is there an unquenchable thirst for fellowship that you've got to just be around God's people? Is it worship? I don't know what I would do if I didn't have worship. There's a hunger inside me that wants to sing and dance and praise God and glorify Him, even in the midst of my darkest depths of depression. Is there something within you, that Holy Spirit of God, that's trying to rise up within you? Reconciliation, restoration, slow to anger, patience and gentleness and kindness, and all these fruits of the Spirit that start to rise up, that start to, see, understand the theology of the position that you're in Christ. Understand the patterns of the principles of your own life that you're living out by your own belief. And then we need to put it into practice. Are you going to put into practice the sinful nature? That old time, old Adam that wants to resurrect himself within you? Or are you living a new life, walking in a new way, being Christ-like, being the hands and the feet and the voice of God, speaking love and grace and mercy and compassion and restoration to a world that is falling apart? We are weapons spiritual weapons. And man, the world needs us. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses here, there, and everywhere. And you have the power to participate. There's your last one. You have the power to participate. When I came to the Lord so many years ago, humbly in repentance and aware of my faults and my sins, when I came to the Lord recently, humbly in repentance, aware of my faults and my sins, when I came to the Lord yesterday, humbly in repentance, when I came to the Lord this morning, humbly in repentance and aware of my faults and my sins, I died to myself. I realized how many things that were wrong that the Lord had forgiven me of and resurrected me again to begin anew because I'm positionally in Christ. There were new principles to understand. There's new ways to walk. It's a new way of life to learn of which God had created you for. The power to practice that which I believe, the freedom to show what God can do in someone's life. Power of transformation from who I was to who I am and who I'm going to be. He will transform your thoughts by the power he's given you. He'll transform your thoughts about how you think about yourself, how you think about sex, how you think about money, who you think your friends are, how you think about church, how you think about theology, how you've learned about Jesus. And once you begin to practice this dead to self and alive in Christ adventure, everything changes, baby. And I got to say it this way. Jesus saved my life. Jesus saved my life. This physical life. The human being side. I'm surprised I'm not dead. Of course he saved my eternal soul. But he saved this physical life. And I'm pretty sure that I'm going to have to give up this physical life if I ever hope to obtain a heavenly one. Because that which is perishable cannot inherit the imperishable. And that which is mortal cannot inherit immortality. So I know somewhere along the line, this physical life that he saved, I got to give that up. That I might know the future glory of God. My life's just beginning. How about yours? Jesus did a work in me for this physical life, this present reality. He set me free, opened my heart, and opened my mind. He taught me what the strength of a real man looks like, the courage of a real man, and what is worth fighting for. He gives me power to live in this world, which can be so unjust, so unforgiving, so ruthless, so uncaring, and so unfriendly. I've been given the power to overcome this world and by the power to navigate my way through it. He's not asking me to solve the problems of this world. He's asking me and telling me, you have the power to get through it and overcome it. The Lord has filled each of you to live a life of gratitude, of humility, and holiness. And we participate in this great adventure of God by giving the same grace that God has poured out onto us to others. Imagine every moment, every interaction, a spiritual moment where you're the spiritual weapon. Participating in a new life where forgiveness comes easily, where mercy abounds in your life, where truth defines every answer that you give, and that love is overwhelmingly flowing through you always. For those in Christ, it isn't a theological concept, or it's not on permission to do whatever you want to do. It's the reality that transforms your life. How we live every day, what we work at every day, how we see ourselves every day. Every day we offer our lives to his service. Every day we lay down our desires for him. Every day we pick up our cross. Every day we place the yoke of him upon us. Every day we choose which path you're going to follow. Every day you choose whom you will serve. Every day you wake up and you go, I'm free in Christ. free. We conquer victory to victory. We triumph over our temptations. We yield the sword of His word. We march with the risen King. We wave the banner of Jesus every day, day after day, moment by moment, until He returns or He calls me home. And for the moment, my work is done. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free to be all that God has asked of me to be. I'm free to become Christ-like, which is radical theology. Won't you join me? Won't you join me in this amazing adventure? Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, I just thank you so very much for the way in which you continue to minister into our hearts and our souls. We pray, Father, that you would mold and shape us, Father, that we might become more Christ-like, that we might understand the depths of the words that you say to us. Father, may we take them to heart and into our minds, and may they transform us. May we be different. And Father, in this place, this day, we pray that you work among us. Bring healing to those that need healing. Bring comfort to those that are grieving. Father, bring health to those that are suffering. Bring joy to those that are wallowing in their depression. Father, I pray that they would recognize the power that they possess to be overcomers, to walk in a new way. Father, in this place, with all sincerity and humility, we're grateful. We're grateful that you wash our sins away and that today is a new day to walk in the ways of Christ. We come before you in thy precious and holy name, the name that is above all names, Emmanuel, the Yeshua, the Christ, Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen. God bless you guys.